Good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. I hope the start of this year has gone well with you. And my hope and my prayer is that as this year unfolds, you will not only come closer to the Lord and knowing Him, but that you would be able to reflect who He is to those around Him. And ultimately, that the Lord will be glorified in and through us. Before we start, though, let me open us in prayer. Father, as we start this new year, Lord, nothing about you has changed, will ever change, Lord. I pray, God, that has for us the calendar passes by, Lord, days and weeks and months go forward. Lord, that in the midst of transition, in the midst of changing circumstances, Lord, that our faith in you as the unchanging God will not waver. Lord, help us to grow in that, Lord. In a sense, our faith in you grows, but the fact that you are always faithful never changes. So I pray, Lord, that as we look into your word now, God, that we would be reminded of who we worship and why we worship you, Lord. God, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my guess is that you have probably seen a relay race, or maybe you've even participated in a relay race. If you're not familiar with it, or maybe you need some reminders, relay race involves having a team of runners who pass on from one runner to the next, usually a baton. Sometimes it's just a tap on the back, but I guess for an official race, it's usually a baton that one runner runs a certain distance, gives the baton to the next runner, they run the same distance, and so forth. And the first team that crosses the finish line first is the winner. But again, if you're familiar with relay races, or you've seen them, or maybe even run them before, oftentimes, it's not necessarily the fastest runners who win the race. It's oftentimes the team that successfully passes their baton from one runner to the next without any hiccups, or the least amount of hiccups or obstacles, you could say, who successfully passes the baton from one runner to the next most efficiently, or you could say effectively. This morning we're going to be starting a new sermon series, which I've kind of given the title, the overarching title of the sermon series, of Owning Your Faith. The importance of believing in Christ, trusting God, because you primarily believe it. Trust Him. Have faith in Christ. Not just other people around you that believe, that may even encourage you to believe, which is a good thing, but that you have come primarily to the point of believing in Christ, because it is true. You believe because you have come to faith in Christ. This owning your faith is so important, especially if I am to successfully, you could say, live out a life of faith this side of heaven. And in order to be, you could say, begin that process of owning your faith, there has to be a, let's just say, a successful passing the baton from one person to the next. Just like in a relay race, where the baton is passed from one runner to the next, hopefully without any hiccups, hopefully without any fumbles or something goes wrong in the handoff, we can pass the baton. You could take hold of the baton from someone else and eventually give that baton to another person. But what's involved with this process of passing the baton? What's needs to take place? And who's involved in this process of passing the baton? And just as important, if not perhaps even more important, is why? What's the purpose of passing the baton? And thinking about our own life circumstances and settings. When we look at one person passing the baton, when we see who's involved, when we understand why they're doing this, how does it, or how might it relate to my own life circumstance and setting? This morning we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'll tell you the specific verses in a minute. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have your Bibles, whether it's a paper Bible, whether it's on your phone or your app. I'd like you to turn to that passage, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to start off by looking at verses 1 to 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 31, where Moses is speaking to all Israel. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 to 6 says this. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispose of them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave nor forsake you. So what's going on is that the Israelites have been wandering, you could say, in the wilderness, in the desert. They come out of slavery in Egypt. Moses has led them. God has used Moses to lead them, the Ten Commandments, the plagues, all that stuff. But in the wilderness, the Israelites as a whole turn on God. And because of their lack of faith, you could say, God says, you guys are not going to be able to enter the promised land, at least your generation. You all have to die off, and then the new generation will be able to enter into the promised land. And so 40 years have passed from their exodus, out of their escape out of Egypt. They've been wandering in the desert, the wilderness, for 40 years. And now they're on the threshold of entering into the promised land. They're ready to take the land that they've heard so much about, that God has promised to them, given them an idea of what to expect. And now they're on the verge of entering this promised land. And Moses is preparing them, you could say, by speaking to all Israel. Notice in particular what he says. He says it in verse 6. I want to focus on verse 6. And he's telling them what to do as they enter the promised land. As they enter and even as they live in the promised land. He says in verse 6, again, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. He's talking about the Canaanites who currently occupy the land. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He tells them very specifically in verse 6, be strong and courageous. And as he's saying this, he's actually giving a command or an order, and what's called an imperative, to the people of Israel to be strong and courageous. This is something that they are to do. They're ordered to do. They're commanded to do. But then he also says, after that command, what they are not to do. He says, do not fear or be in dread of them. Do not be scared of the Canaanites who currently occupy the land. You could say the Gentiles, the people who do not believe in the Lord God. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be worried or stressed out or anxious, you could say, about them. He gives a command. Do this. Tells them what they are to do. But what's interesting is that what they are not to do is not a command. It's, you could say, not an order. That's not to say that it's not important that they do not fear or be in dread. But the emphasis is really on what they are to do. Be strong and courageous. Rather than, you could say, the order or the commandment. Again, it is not an order. It is not a commandment. To not worry. To not fear. To not be in dread. To not be stressed out or anxious about this. And I would even suggest that this kind of goes against popular thinking. Maybe our culture's thinking. Maybe even your thinking or assumption about what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. Because oftentimes, sometimes in our society and our culture that may not believe in God or Christ, Christians or being a follower of Christ gets the thought or the, I would say, the misthought of, as a Christian, the emphasis is always on being against something. Being against homosexuality, being against divorce, being against murder. Again, these are all things that are emphasized, are taught in the Bible that we should be against. But oftentimes, when someone who is not a believer, or maybe even someone who is a believer, thinks about what Christianity is, the emphasis is oftentimes on what we are against, what we are not to do, rather than what we are to do, what we are called to do. In this case, in verse 6, the emphasis is on being strong, being courageous. Do not fear, do not be dreaded of them. I'm not saying it's not important. We shouldn't do that. The Israelites shouldn't do that. But the emphasis is on what they are to do, not what they are not to do. And just think about, perhaps even in your life circumstance, in context, perhaps God is calling you, wanting you to do something, to take a step of faith, to trust Him in this, rather than to not do something. Again, I'm not saying that that's not important, but maybe you're called to step out. Maybe you're called to have faith in this, to trust in Him, rather than to avoid this. I mean, again, there are certain things that we are called to avoid. And the reason why we are to do this, be strong and courageous, is given in the end of verse 6, where He says, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So not only does Moses tell the Israelites what they are to do, be strong and courageous, but He gives them the reason why they are to do that, which is, it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave or forsake you. This is so important. This is so critical to know not just what we are to do, or perhaps you could say not to do, but to know and understand and believe the reason why we are to do this or not to do this. The reason why Moses says the Israelites can be strong and courageous, are to be strong and courageous, is not because of their own strength, is not because they've got a large number of, they're a strong fighting force, but the reason why they are to be strong and courageous is because God goes with them. He is in their presence. He is in their midst. He will not forsake them. That does not necessarily mean that all the things, their setting circumstances will go exactly as they want. That they're always going to be victorious and, you know, things will line up perfectly the way they desire. But that God, what they can believe, trust, is that God will not leave them. God will not abandon them. God's presence will always be with them, even when things may not go according to their schedule, according to their liking. God will still be with them. And maybe for some of us, we need to trust and we need to believe, not just, but why we trust, why you believe. That's just as important as what you do. Why do you have faith in God? Why do you worship God? Why are you following God now? Why are you being strong and being courageous in your faith? In this passage, Scripture tells us, tells Joshua and the Israelites, it is the Lord who goes with you. And I believe that in your life circumstance and setting, that the Lord will also go with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Do you have faith in that and in Him? Well, let's go on in our passage. Notice that Moses has been addressing the Israelites, all the Israelites, in verse 1 at this point. But now in verses 7 to 8, Moses directs his attention specifically to Joshua. Joshua has more than likely been hearing Moses in verses 1 to 6. But in verse 7 to 8, there's a shift of focus, you could say. Let me read verse 7. It says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So now Moses is speaking directly, you could say personally, to Joshua in verses 7-8. I would argue that Joshua had been listening, was there with all the other Israelites in verses 1-6, and hearing what Moses was saying or to the Israelites, to be strong and courageous, verse 6, do not fear. It is God who goes with you. But now, in verse 7 and 8, Moses, you could say, specifically directs his attention. Joshua comes up from the crowd, maybe like a game show. He's being called to come up and to the front. And Moses tells Joshua, in particular, be strong and courageous, for you shall lead these people into the promised land. And it is the Lord who goes with you. Just as Moses, speaking on behalf of the Lord, commanded and promised, or commanded and ordered the Israelites in verse 6 to be strong and courageous, he also commands or orders Joshua in particular to be strong and courageous. And he's to be strong and courageous because he is the one who the Lord has designated, has called to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And he says the reason why he can, Joshua can do this, being strong and courageous and leading the people into the land, is in verse 8, just like what he had said earlier in verse 6, he will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Again, the emphasis, the command is on being strong and courageous rather than not fearing or being dismayed. And again, I'm not saying that not fearing or being dismayed isn't important, but the emphasis again is on being strong and being courageous. The reason why Joshua, just like the Israelites, can be strong and courageous is because the Lord goes with them. Moses is speaking specifically to Joshua, but he's speaking to Joshua in front, I would argue, in front of all Israel. So all Israel knows that it is the Lord speaking through Moses who is calling Joshua to now lead them. He wants everyone to be on the same page, right? To understand that it's not just because, you know, Joshua's led this coup, you know, Joshua got elected, got the most popular votes, but it is the Lord God who, speaking through Moses, is directing him to call Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. Maybe for some of you, God is calling you in particular to take a step of faith, to step out, if you will, to do something that God is directing you, perhaps to lead others, to minister to others, to serve others. What has been your response so far? How have you responded or reacted to hearing this, you could say, commission or challenge or directive that God has been speaking to you? Perhaps through a human voice or an agent, like with Moses. Perhaps someone else, a boss, a parent, a teacher, maybe even a friend, a coworker. You're being called. You're being challenged. You're being commanded to be strong and courageous. But you're being commanded because it is God who is going with you. Not to be strong and courageous on your own, in your own strength, in your own ability, trusting maybe someone else or something else, but trusting that it is God who goes with you. Let's continue on. We talked about how Moses is speaking to all Israel. We talked about how Moses directs his attention and speaks to Joshua specifically. But now let's look at verses 14 to 16 and also verse 23. And we'll see a change, you could say, that now it will be the Lord who speaks. It is the Lord who is speaking. Let me read these verses. Verse 14 to 16, then we'll move to verse 23. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him." And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers." Essentially, you're about to die. "Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering. And they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them." In verses 14 to 16, there's a private meeting now between Moses and Joshua and the Lord God. This is away from all the other Israelites. They're in the what's called the tent of meeting, which essentially is where the presence of God would manifest itself. And Moses, only Moses, would be able to enter the tent of meeting. But now, notice it's Moses and Joshua entering the tent of meeting, which Beforehand, it was only Moses that was allowed to go into the tent of meeting. Now, because Joshua will now lead the Israelites, he now is present in the tent of meeting. And in the tent of meeting, God tells Moses that, Moses, thanks for leading the Israelites, but this is as far as you go. Essentially, you're going to be placed in retirement. Well, you're essentially going to die, right? Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. I know that sounds unfair. It seems kind of like, wow, you know, even Moses did all these great things. But I think it also demonstrates that, hey, following God, trusting God, believing in God is still a righteous God. From our standpoint, human standpoint, it may not seem fair, but God's standards are always right, are always holy, are not something that we could kind of play with. God doesn't, you could say, grade on a curve. But anyway, let's go on. The Lord is speaking to Moses about what will take place. Even the coming rebellion of the people against the Lord. But not only is it the Lord who's speaking to Moses, which had been the pattern up to this point, but notice, if you will, in verse 23, what takes place. It says, "And the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, and said, 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you.'" See, up to this point, God, as I mentioned, God had only been talking directly, specifically to Moses. He was the only one who was able to enter into the tent of meeting to communicate or to hear from the Lord God. But now it's Joshua also going in to the tent of meeting to hear, to meet with the Lord, you could say, face to face. In addition, God speaks not just to Moses, which he had been up to this point, but now he speaks specifically, directly to Joshua himself in verse 23. And he tells Joshua directly, not through Moses. Moses doesn't communicate this message, who he had been earlier. We saw in verse 6 and verse 7, now it is the Lord God speaking directly, personally, to Joshua himself. Be strong and courageous. It is a command. It is an imperative. It is an order, just like it was in verse 6 and verse 7. For you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. Again, this is the third time that Joshua has heard this same similar message. Be strong and courageous, for it is the Lord God who goes with you. Verse 6, verse 7 and 8, and now in verse 23. But the main difference in verse 23 is because it is God, the Lord God, speaking directly, personally, you could even argue privately in a way, to Joshua himself. It is not coming through a third party. It's not to say that hearing what God has to say to you from a third party isn't good. But here it is directly from the Lord God. Be strong and courageous, for I will be with you. And maybe for some of us, this is the circumstance and setting in which you are facing, that God is wanting to get your attention, to speak directly, personally, you could say privately to you, to remind you to be strong and courageous. And not just to be strong and courageous for being strong and courageous sake, but because it is the Lord who goes with you. He is with you. Again, doesn't mean that things will turn out exactly how you want. exactly the way you like, but His presence, He promises His presence with you. And because of His presence, you can experience peace, even in the midst of the unknown, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty, you can still experience peace because of His presence with you. Be strong and courageous. How is God wanting you, calling you to trust Him, to lean on Him, to look to Him? Not just hearing this message from another person, as good as that is, a parent, a teacher, a pastor, a fellow believer, but to hear Him speak to you directly, personally. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. I will go with you. Let me close this in prayer. Father, thank you again that you promise your presence with us, not because of our own abilities or not because we deserve it, but because of our faith in Jesus and His death on the cross for our sins, our belief that He covers us, cleanses us from our iniquities. God, I pray that as we live out our lives, it is again not for our good, but for your glory. Not just so that we can gain, but that so that you and your name could be glorified. Father, I pray, Lord, that in the context and the circumstances in which we face, that we can be strong and courageous. Lord, we can be strong and courageous because you are with us, because you are in our midst, because you go before us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that at the end of the day, again, that it's your name that's lifted up. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, go out and have a good day. God bless. Hope to see you soon.